Right, today I'm in Kirtley near Newmarket with Adam Kirby. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us today, Adam. Star Sports brand ambassador for the flat season. You started riding at 6 and then riding out at 12. Was there really any other ambition than to become a jockey?
No, it all started when we had a holiday in France with my mother and father and my brother, and we went to a racetrack over there, and I think just watching it, it all got me a bit G'd up, and it sort of all moved on from there, and that's when I started taking riding more serious and realised what I wanted to do.
So you're quite tall for a flat jockey. Was there ever a bit of a panic when it became apparent you were going to be taller than the average?
No, I wouldn't say a panic. I didn't think I'd be able to stay going as long as I have. You know, when I started, I was very light, and it just started to creep up on me after about 3 years. And but I've managed to hold it and be pretty comfortable now at sort of riding at 9 stone. And
how tall are you?
5'11".
Is that the tallest in the weighing room?
No, there's a few taller. It must be very light bones. They do lighter than me, but good luck to them.
Did you ever consider being a jump jockey instead?
It's crossed my mind a couple of times, I rode in the Lingfield flat jockeys hurdle race, and I realised pretty quickly I don't think I'd enjoy it too much.
Okay, so did you have to follow a fairly harsh dietary regime to keep your riding weight?
Yes and no. You know, when you're racing every day, you wouldn't be eating all that much, and you'd just be snacking rather than having meals, it's been going on years now, and it's something I've just learned to deal with now.
I had a shrewdy tell me that if ever you were spotted riding at 9 stone, we should get on. Is that true?
Well, that's he's a very kind chap saying that, but no, obviously when I do 9 stone, you know, it's I have to put a bit of effort into it, and you know, I don't like doing it unless I think they've got some sort of a live chance.
Okay, you rode your first win out in 2004 in Broughton Nose. How much of that do you remember, that race?
Yeah, I remember it all. Just like yesterday. It was a great day. I was nice and settled and relaxed out of the back, and he took me into the race well, and all I had to do was just give him a little click, and off he went. And it was a great day, and it was a great feeling.
So how many rides did you have before you had that winner?
None. It was my first one.
So since then, straight after then, you won some big races, the Portland Handicap and the John Smith's Cup. Is it extra hard for young jockeys in big handicaps? Is there sort of a little bit of bullying goes on there?
I wouldn't say it's extra hard. You have to think very quickly and be aware of what's happening around you, because you know, it's one thing watching it on telly, but when it's happening around you, you need to think quickly, and you know, you make sure you follow the right horses through and make sure things are happening the way you want it to happen.
So you rode over 100 winners in 2011 and 2012, and then you won the all-weather championship in 2013. You're a fan of the all-weather, or is it just because it's an essential way to earn a living?
No, I haven't got a problem with the all-weather at all. I like to keep going in the winter time. You know, keep the ball rolling a bit, because you know, I'm an active person, and obviously I love riding, and you know, just and it's got to do with earning a living, you know. But no, I do it. The day comes when I say I don't enjoy it anymore, it'll be very few days left.
Do you ever consider riding abroad during the winter?
Yes, I'd love to. You know, but the chances haven't really materialised, and been to Dubai a few times, and been other different places. But I've had winners, plenty of winners, and had a few winners in Dubai, and been lucky out there. But when the chance presents itself, I'll go. But no, it hasn't yet.
So what would be the main differences for a jockey between riding on turf and the all-weather?
Certain turf tracks, you can be real cool and relax and take your time. You know, because it opens up and, you know, it just happens. Yeah, I can't really explain it, but, you know, certain tracks we need to think quick because, you know, you need to get a good position and you need to follow the right horse through. You need to be on the ball, you know, but there's certain tracks where we can relax a bit on the turf.
So what, as a jockey, what do you prefer?
Grass.
You've won big handicaps, the Lincoln, the Royal Hunt Cup. Do you get any sort of stage fright or nerves before the big races? And what's it like to ride in those huge field handicaps?
Stage fright? No. The only time you'd get a little bit on edges is in the paddock beforehand. But apart from that, as soon as you get on the horse, it's over to you. And I'm very lucky to ride for a lot of trainers, you know, mainly Clive Cox, who's pretty cool guy to ride for, and he just lets me take it as it comes.
So is it really, once those big the gates open for those big race handicaps, big field handicaps, is it possible to run to tactics, or do you have to think on your feet and make the most of what a race throws at you?
Same as most races, you'd do your homework beforehand, you'd have 90% of an idea what you think's going to happen around you, i.e. Where the pacemakers are, who you think's going to make the pace, you know, but sometimes that can go wrong relatively quickly. And when it does, that's when your instincts have to take over. And no matter what your orders are, sometimes you have to think for yourself and change things around a little. But you need to be on the ball.
Now from just a non-rider's point of view, those sort of races look terrifying. I mean, how noisy and sort of frightening are they, those cavalry charges, when you're in them?
No, not at all. You wouldn't really hear anything much. I mean, you know, you can near on talk to each other in a race, you know. But again, it's all about being very aware of what's going on, because things happen fast. And you know, the only thing I wouldn't like is when you've been on the front end and you've run out of petrol, and the horses start coming by you from the back, and everyone's switching around in front of you. You need to be on the ball then even more, because you know it can go from bad to worse pretty quickly when you're falling out of the telly.
So would you get fellow jockeys sort of screaming and shouting at you to get out of the way, or what?
They wouldn't be screaming and shouting to get out of the way, but yeah, there'd be a fair bit of hollering going on, and you know, they'd be making you, you know, you need to make everyone aware that where you are sometimes when it's getting a bit tight, because you know, it is a dangerous sport, and like I said earlier, it's all about being very aware of what's going on around you.
Oh, are you aware of the crowd in those big meetings?
No, not really. You're cantering down to start, obviously, if you're just trying to get a horse to chill out, then you know, obviously you hear all the screams and the shouts and the roars, and but no, that's also part of it, and you know, it's a good buzz.
From a career point of view, you reached a new level with Lethal Force in 2013, winning your first Group 1. Does winning a Group 1 change your status in the weighing room?
I wouldn't say it changes status, but it's a great feeling that when your first one comes and when you pass the line for the first time, it's a massive relief that you've got there and you've won the first Group 1.
Okay, obviously most people don't see inside a weighing room. Is it still a place of practical jokes and banter, or has the game got a bit too serious these days?
Every day's going to be different. Some days, you know, a lot of guys are pretty serious. Other times you can have a laugh, and you know, everyone's pretty chilled out about it, but no, every day's different.
So you won the 2016 Kingstown Stakes at Royal Ascot, but you missed the birth of your child. Have you been forgiven for that, or have you forgiven yourself?
No, it was never a case of that, really. me and Megan already had the conversation that you know, he was overdue, and if he was to come on that day, then I was going to work, because Profitable was a horse I loved, and you know, for me, you know, he was a live contender, and I thought he'd take the beat, and thank God he went and won for us. But listen, for any man that you know, I was there for the second one, and you know, it's a hard thing to deal with childbirth, but no, it was, like I said, it was a great day, and it wasn't a matter of being forgiven. That was where I was going.
Did you know before the winner or after?
I knew before. He was born 2 hours before the first race, and the first person I told was Clive Cox. He shook my hand, and I'd never seen him smile so much. And but no, it turned out to be a great day.
Yeah, it must have been a special day. Now you also you find time to run a farm too, and I understand you break horses here.
Yeah, we do. We have a few farm animals, we have a few sheep and a few cattle. Mother does. She's a greyhound trainer, so there's also a few greyhounds here. But we do. We break a lot of horses there in the winter time, and when I say break them, for people that don't understand, it means getting them used to have a rider on their back. They're young horses, and they need to be broken in to ride, or started, some people could call it. But yeah, we'd be pretty busy in the wintertime doing that.
So just in a nutshell, what does that entail from start to finish?
Well, obviously the young horses, they've never had a saddle on, they've never, some of them haven't even had a rug on. But you know, you have to sort of understand them pretty quickly, and just sort of get them used to having tack on, and get them used to driving them. That means when you have a rein either side of them, and get them walking on, and get them turning left and right, and stopping and starting, and understand what you're asking them. You know, it's I think it's a specialist job, because I think a horse can be ruined from the start, and I think we do a pretty good job at it. But it's all about communicating with them and understanding them pretty quickly.
Okay, so do you have any interests outside of horses and racing?
It's bad, isn't it? No, not really. Dog racing a little bit, but that'll be about it.
You say your mum's a dog trainer. Where does she run her dogs?
She used to run a lot of them at Harlow. She still does, but there's she goes to a few other tracks, Yarmouth, a few places like that, and she's pretty good. She's quite successful at it.
So do you go dog racing?
Occasionally, not very often, but occasionally.
So going back to being a jockey, what would you say is the best and worst aspect about your profession?
The best part about the job is obviously riding winners. That gives you a buzz. The worst is, for me, I think, is the travelling. I hate travelling.
So if you could change, maybe you've answered that question already, if you could change anything about the life, what would it be?
Get a helicopter.
And do some of you guys still share helicopters, or is that a thing of the past?
Yeah, no, helicopters not really, be very, very rare, but small planes, when you're going up north or when you're going a long way, then four or five of us will all jump in together and get one for the day.
So finally, in an ideal world, how would you see yourself in 10 years' time? What would you be doing?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, I have to see where racing takes me. It'll be, whatever I'm doing, it'll be involving horses.
Brilliant. Adam Kirby, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's not just online betting at Star Sports. You can call us too on 08000 5-1 3-1 and speak directly to one of our friendly and experienced traders. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.